Opinions are valid, but meaningless unless given grounding. If you have an opinion in a void, with no facts, no evidence, no reason, then while you're certainly entitled to have it, no one needs to respect it. The variety of information and viewpoints in the modern world has led to an equal variety of opinions. And in a sense, that's good. It makes our conversations much more effective. We have many viewpoints from which to approach a subject to discuss it. It allows us, in theory, to open up new avenues of thinking, to not be limited by a handful of conventional approaches to a topic. But we also can get flooded by opinions which have little to no merit, which can only be determined by investigating those opinions. An opinion that has been investigated holds more water than one that has not, and it's worth our while to recognize that therefore some opinions should be taken more seriously than others, not because our common sense tells us that one thing is more likely to be correct, but because one has gone the extra mile in attempting to prove itself. This applies perhaps most directly to topics where human experience is called into question. This can range broadly, anything from the demands of a refugee who is fleeing a war-torn country, or the burgeoning calls of Holocaust denial from some quarters, or the ongoing debates about abortion, the reasons for it and the reasons against it. These are topics where some people might find themselves on the fence. They may have a variety of opinions. They may have opinions which are not yet fully formed. Many people will not bother to confirm their opinion. They're fine with simply having an opinion. That's fine, but then such a person can certainly not ask that their opinion be taken seriously. And if you really want to cut to the core of the issue, put out a request, ask to talk to someone, to multiple people who have experienced this, whatever the topic may be. You've seen claims online that the Holocaust happened on a much smaller scale than is the historical standard, and now you're wondering if that's true. Well, if you find that the evidence is too much and too uncertain, ask to talk to some Holocaust survivors directly. I guarantee you'll find people 80, 90, 100 years old, tired and wizened, but strong and glad to sit down with you and take the time to tell you their experiences. They want their experience and their truth to be known and to be believed. Likewise, if you're trying to figure out where you stand on abortion, let's say, talk to people who have gone through it. Even their opinions will differ, one from the other, but you will certainly get a much more powerful insight into what really is going on as someone tells you their experiences, what they had to deal with, what they had to go through, the torture of even making that decision, perhaps. And when you get this evidence of a sort, and granted, it is anecdotal evidence, but it is deep evidence, it is an insightful piece of evidence. You're not just reading facts and figures that may or may not be true, you are hearing from someone's mouth what they personally have gone through. And you could choose to reject that. You could believe that they have been hoodwinked, propagandized, or lying, or part of a conspiracy or cover-up. That would be hard to disprove. You could imagine that not just the books and media are lying about a particular topic or trying to lead you in a given direction, but that the people, too, who tell their stories are also lying to you, lying with all their passion, that their own histories are lies. Anything can be ignored if you try hard enough. Anything can be dismissed or explained. If you're firmly certain, so firmly certain in what you believe now, that no earthly evidence can change your opinion on a matter, then you can easily just dismiss anything you don't like. But then at that point, you're not looking for the truth. You're not looking to decide what you believe. You're looking to confirm what you want to believe and dismiss what you don't want to believe. Nothing can then change your mind because your mind has no relation to reality anymore, at least in that topic. Any belief can be sustained then, any at all, if you base it only on what you want to be true rather than what is likely to be true, and note that I say likely rather than is. The belief becomes a make-believe belief. And then, your opinion truly does not matter. It has no relation to reality except by random chance or accident on some rare occasion. It's only based on what you want to be true and the world you have created in your own head. The opinion, then, has nothing to contribute. And it is okay at that point for us to say, as a society, that that opinion has nothing to contribute. And it doesn't really matter the emotional appeal of the opinion, or the quarter it comes from, or the side which it takes. Whether we agree with that side or disagree with that side, whether we sympathize with the individual or not, the opinion cannot be sustained. But if you do choose to pursue the evidence and attempt to understand the anecdotes, the stories, the backgrounds that you hear, you may end up all the more confused and all the more uncertain. Because the fact is, no two people's experience is identical. Even with a common shared experience, a common background, a common origin, a common trauma, there are still differences. There are still different perspectives. You have rape victims who remain rabidly anti-abortion, and you have devout Christians who have become pro-abortion. There are former career criminals who will tell you that you can never trust an ex-convict again based on their own background, and there are former career criminals who will tell you that once a sentence has been served, once a lesson has been learned, society should move on and forgive them. People's experiences are not all of a kind. And this is the challenge which we face when forming our opinions. Not to close our minds after receiving some piece of evidence, but to be open to further evidence, further discussion, further insights, understanding, stories, histories. If you want your opinion to matter, your opinion must remain open to change, to growth. And on the other side of the equation, if we want our public policy, our laws, our cultural idioms to have any sanity, then we must expect high standards of our own opinions and reject opinions, whether our own or from others, which do not meet these standards. It seems harsh, perhaps, but it is the only guarantor of having any reality, any rationality in our conversations.